Blog Talk Radio.
There is no disputing the fact that Sigmund Freud, 1856 to 1939, is the founder of psychoanalytic theory, and that his anthropology has vastly contributed to modern man's and postmodern man's self-understanding. It was Freud's contention that in order to help people tormented by personal and interpersonal conflict, one must investigate his past. The past is the key or is determinative of what the person is in the present. Freudian psychoanalysis teaches that when the individual can come to understand the mosaic pieces of his past, healing can take place. Freudian self-understanding is a twofold process. First, the individual must undergo psychoanalysis and then from there proceed to psychotherapy. It is when the individual moves from psychoanalysis to psychotherapy that he begins to understand the outside forces which have contributed to or determined his present self-understanding. And so it is the past which is determinative, or it is the past that has had a determinative impact upon the individual's present neurotic or psychotic behavior. And this involves significant family and authority models. So, moreover, when the individual enters psychotherapy, it is there that he discovers that through the influence of significant authority models, he entered into conflict with his superego, that is, his conscience and his oughts, and his id, or primal wants and desires. So through psychotherapy, the superego is absolved of guilt and the id is free to pursue its primal wants and desires. So the Freudian psychoanalytic theory absolves the individual of any personal responsibility for his inner and social alienation. And so there is a very profound ethic that emerges from Freudianism. That is, Freudianism excuses man from his responsibilities toward God and his neighbor. And it puts a premium upon the expression of his sinful nature and endeavors to destroy law and conscience. Over against the Freudian view of man or Freudian anthropology, there's Carl Rogers, and he was the founder of client-centered therapy. Client-centered therapy is radically unlike Freudian psychoanalytic determinism with its motif of primal aggression. Client-centered therapy is optimistic about the human condition, such as it is. Client-centered therapy is part of a larger psychotherapeutic movement which emphasizes the existential humanistic approach to human behavior. And so the humanistic therapist prefers to emphasize man's sense of purpose, values, options, and the right to and capacity for self-determination. So the client is encouraged to investigate his awareness of his personal issues with objective candor and explicit detail. The therapist facilitates this exploratory process. He does not, however, offer the client any subjective interventionist theory or theories concerning his problems. The therapist's working presupposition is that he cannot possibly know the client's psychic cosmology. The therapist assumes that the client is the expert with regard to his own issues. So client-centered therapy is intended to create conditions that unleash inherent striving for growth in each client. Rogers believed that the best way to facilitate the striving for growth is by providing the client the conditions which will enable him to achieve optimal growth. Rogers called this opportunity for optimal growth unconditional positive regard. So this view, this Freudianism and humanistic psychotherapy as propounded by Rogers has certain inherent contradictions and limitations. They are both naturalistic in that they are built on naturalistic assumptions about human anthropology. Neither theory, because both are philosophies, neither theory allows for a supernatural condition or a supernatural anthropology of man, such as is presented in the Word of God. The Word of God is not only distinctive, it is decidedly different, it is decidedly other, in that the anthropological view as presented by the scriptures is decisive. And so it is the biblical viewpoint that man is a sinner outside of Christ, one who is given over to one whose behavior is habituated by following sinful patterns and desires. The will is subsumed under the ponderous weight of sin, and that it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit in regeneration that this inherent condition is changed. Indeed, it is the Holy Spirit who gives new life. It is through the power of the Spirit that the individual is made anew, or as Jesus said in John 3, he is born again of the Spirit of God. Please reference Genesis chapter 1. Prior to Christ, man is seen as ruined creation, governed by darkness. Chaos is in charge of the human condition prior to God's creative work. It is the light of the gospel, it is the light of the Word of God that has shined in our hearts to give us the wonderful knowledge of the light of the faith of God in Christ Jesus. Look around you today and you see the misery, the horror, you see the destruction and the unhappiness of human beings across the globe. Political answers and politicians will never meet the deepest needs of the human heart. Only God can provide that answer. And God provides the most wonderful answer to the human condition, and that is His Son, Christ Jesus. This is what Paul writes in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 3. And he is speaking of the Christ. Paul writes, "In whom are hid all the treasures, thesauroi, from which we get our word thesaurus, in whom are hid all the treasures of Sophia's wisdom and gnosis or knowledge, in whom are hid all the treasures." Then Paul states in verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Beware of the enticing words of philosophical psychology, words that are very dangerous in many respects. Verse 6, Paul writes, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you or lead you away as booty." Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the stoicheia, or the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, verse 10, and this pronoun is in the emphatic position, and you are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in him. We have a holistic salvation. God addresses most powerfully the problems of living through Christ. God addresses most powerfully the problems of living through Christ. What is man's greatest need today? Lost his sense of purpose. He has lost his sense of meaningfulness in life. People stand before the existential void with expressionless pallors. Their faces reveal they no longer know who they are. This is the time for the confessing church to rise up and to bring a word that is meaningful and powerful. This is the time for the church to become a united voice and not silent. But it is very interesting going on in the church today in the face of all the evil that is about. And I will cover that in my next show. Good evening. God bless you. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Good evening.